I'll just get in the back seat. I get a little car sick back here, but it's fine. We brought the wrong binky.
You brought the blue binky? The blue binky is trash.
We need the green one.
Yeah, the green binky is the car binky, and the blue binky is the crib binky.
We need to turn it around.
Yeah, we've been on the road for over an hour, but if we don't get the green binky, it's over.
Crib binky. Oh, here's your sippy cup. Here's a snack. Take a snack. Stop hitting your brother. Here. Take some snacks. Just take it. I brought these for me, but you just take it. I don't know if sharks have butts. Will you just eat a snack? My shoulder's starting to hurt. I'm gonna need physical therapy from reaching backwards so much. Here, take it.
All right, front seat Freddy up here with Dad. Look at you, big guy. Now we can kind of dish the tea. Spill some of the hot goss. Seriously, like, who are you shipping in your grave? What's up with Trevor? Is he still throwing you shade? You and Trevor, is Trevor being a Chad? Do you have a friend named Chad? How's school? Fine, that's one word. Tell me one thing that happened today. I don't care, like, it could be I stood up from a chair. Like, that I'm starving for your information and you give me fine every day. Oh, so you're just gonna, okay. So just text me when you want me to come get you if you're not ready. Love you. He thinks I'm cool.
Break. Okay, break. Honey, I know it says right on red, honey, but you have to stop first. You have to stop first before you, okay. No, not, don't stop now. Right on red means stop, then you go. No, you're doing great. Don't you worry about it. Whew. Okay, you keep saying YOLO. I don't think you know what YOLO means. YOLO literally means you only live once. Okay, honey, you're doing great. You're doing great. Be careful of the children and the dogs and the cars and the people. Okay, you just missed that mailbox. Just oonch over a little bit. Okay, not that much. Just oonch, like, no. Back this way. Okay, remember, speed bumps are to help us slow down. Don't accelerate. And, okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, bye, honey. Be safe.
Just wear your seatbelt and just look both ways and all the ways and just, you're gonna do great.
So that's it. She just drives herself now?
When am I gonna get all the gossip?
Let's make sure she's okay.
Well, she just drove away.
Yeah, this is Find My iPhone. Look, she's at the stop sign.
Did she stop all the way?
Just stopped right now.
We shouldn't be hovering over the phone tracking her.
You're right. I trust her.
Yeah. I just don't trust the other people on the road.
Oh, she executed a left-hand turn.
She made it to the highway. Good girl.
Well, at least we have a lot more free time on our hand with the driving.
Yeah, well, we do have to watch this until she gets there. You
obviously,
realize that.
We're going to watch the entire thing.
And then when she gets home, we have to monitor her drive
right,
there.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Tons of free time now. Yeah.
Who taught your kids how to drive in here? Anybody? Okay, so usually there's a mom or a dad that does better. And I asked Charity this week who was better at teaching them to drive, and she said dad. Because remember how she was holding the old crap bar in the video, right? Her hand is up there. You're pushing on the imaginary brakes. Stop! I remember one time, was it you or Billy? I was literally yelling, Charity, we're coming up on a car. Was it you or it was your brother? I thought I was going to die for sure. Somehow, and then he finally stops in the middle of the intersection. I'm like, I didn't mean there. And so parents, y'all with little kids, start talking through now about who is going to teach your kid how to drive, because it is the scariest thing you'll do as a parent. Potty training has nothing when it comes to that. Let me tell you, cleaning up doo-doo compared to, well, oh my goodness. Yeah, it is crazy. I say this as it's a funny thing, right? We tell our kids that we trust you, but then do we really trust them? Like us pushing on the brakes, it's like, no, I actually do not trust you at all. But isn't that how we can be with God sometimes? We say, God, I trust you, but our hands are like pretty much welded on the wheel, right? Like you can barely get them off. We say, God, I've given this to you, but you're still trying to control every single turn, every stop, every outcome. And sometimes God is asking us to do something that's really, really hard. And that is to let go. Like this, like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, right? Like give it to God and let go. Trust isn't just saying, God, I trust you. Trust is putting your hands down and allowing him to be in control. We want God to bless what we refuse to release, right? So we've been in the story of Hannah all month, and I just, like, we've talked about it. It's a tiny little blip in the Bible. But it's so cool how you can learn so many lessons from just one person's journey. And so we're going to go back into Samuel today, to 1 Samuel 1, 19 through 20. And you can just look up here if it's easier. I know the words are kind of little, but as they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before Jehovah and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. I love that. That's a graceful way to say that two became one. And as time came to pass, when the time had come about that Hannah conceived, and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Jehovah. So for some of you who maybe have not been here, I'm going to catch you up a little bit, okay? So Hannah, she was pretty much crying out to the Lord because she couldn't conceive. She couldn't have kids. No matter how much she tried, she couldn't have them. And there was this moment where she went to the church and she broke down and she was like, God, I just don't know what to do. And there was this amazing moment where she was like, God didn't change the circumstance, but yet she was like, okay, God, I give you control. And then from there, that faith step, she got pregnant. So there, just kind of catch you up a little bit there. God gives Hannah Samuel. The prayer is answered. The miracle comes, and if the story ended there, we would all love it, right? Because we love stories where God gives us what we want. But Hannah's story doesn't end with receiving. It actually ends with releasing, and that's the hardest part of the promise. We're going to go a little bit farther in Samuel, 1 Samuel 24 through 28. And after she had weaned him, she took him to Shiloh, taking along a three-year-old bull, a bushel of flour, and a leather bag full of wine. She took Samuel, young as he was, to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And after they killed the bull, they took the child to Eli. And Hannah said to him, excuse me, sir, do you remember me? I am the woman that you saw standing here praying to the Lord. And I asked him for this child, and he gave me what I asked for. So I am deciding to dedicate him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he will belong to the Lord. And then they worship the Lord there together. Okay, y'all. She just gave this dude a three-year-old kid. He was probably old, because if you read, like, earlier on, he talks about how his sons were priests. So he's... here's this three-year-old, take care of him. I give him to you. I give him to God. So that part of the story is just crazy in and of itself. Trusting this guy that she meets once a year when she goes to this festival and goes to pray. And so she's really reaching out in faith in and of itself just with that. I just can't imagine praying for a baby, crying for him. I don't know if some of y'all have gone through other miscarriages or have gone through infertility, and you wait for that baby, and then finally God gives him to you. You hold him, you nurse him, you help his boo-boo when he falls down and gets hurt, and you raise him and you love him, and then she surrenders him. There's something just, something about receiving from God takes faith. And releasing back to God takes even more. Hannah understood that something that we often forget, and that the blessing was never, ever meant to replace the blesser. Samuel was a gift, but ultimately he belonged to God. And let's look at your own life. It's your kids, your marriage, your plans, your career, your reputation, your money, your future. I could go on and on, right? But control gives us this illusion that we're safe, right? But when we have to surrender, that is the reality of trust, because true strength is found when we let go and trust God's greater purpose. That's not always an easy thing to do. So we're going to transition into an interview. This will be our last interview of the series. Before we get started today, though, I want y'all to watch this video clip, and it's going to set up the stage for what we're going to be talking about, okay?
First time I was diagnosed, it broke everything. I broke. Didn't know how to act, didn't know how to talk, didn't want to talk, didn't want to hear anybody's words of advice, encouragement. Even the pastor reached out and I just said, no, I'm good. I don't need any help. But I was broken. I had to go through treatments, 6 months, then 2 years maintenance. Then I heard those words, you are in remission. Then a year later, you have stage 4 cancer again. How do you face it again? And why would you let me go through all of this just to let me go back into the fire again? What was you trying to teach me? What was you trying to say? I didn't want to listen anyways because I felt betrayed. Felt lost. I hated God. Why? Why would you do this? What was the point? Was I here just to suffer? But I got up. I went and did the treatments. My wife, she kept believing. She kept saying, you'll get through this. We'll get through this. God will make a way. I didn't really believe her.
Made it.
I didn't think that I would make it. But that day come, and she said, the doctor said, you are in remission, but you need 2 more years of maintenance treatment. No, I couldn't take anymore. My body had had enough of medicine, enough of poison, so I decided I'm not going to do it. And a year later, my cancer came back again, stage 4. Even after the doctor said, it's too soon. You're too young. You can't get cancer again. Not yet. But I had stage 4 cancer. Shattered. That my world was shattered. Like again? 3 times? How am I supposed to do this? Like, who survives cancer twice? Much less 3 times. And now there was a new treatment called CAR T. I had to go to Indianapolis to the IU hospital for 2 weeks over Christmas. Who wants to go to be in the hospital for 2 weeks over Christmas? Like, can't be around nobody, have to be in a hospital room around a bunch of people you don't know. I didn't want to go. I tried everything, any excuse that I could make, but my wife wasn't having it. He's like, you are going, and God's going to do his thing. After about 6 or 7 days after the treatment, I started feeling better. Started feeling stronger. Got up and walked around a little bit. I was ready to go. So I started dropping hints to the doctor, I want to go home. And he let me go home. And 3 or 4 months later, I heard those amazing words. You are in remission. Now here we are, almost at a year, and I'm still feeling good, still feeling in remission. That makes sense, but I'm still in remission. No matter what happens, keep your faith, because God is faithful, even when you are not. No matter how far you push him away, his arms are longer than yours, and he will continue to hold you until you accept.
Here comes our doctor, too.
Woo. OTTC.
Whew. Can you give him a hand? So Tom told us earlier it's been a year and a half now, not just a year, since he's been in admission. So that's really awesome. So today I have his wife, Tracy Akers, here with us today. And I thought it would be cool to hear from her side of the story as a spouse who is on the other side of it. And just you feel like you can't control anything. And so I'm really excited to have you here today. Thank you for being here. So the first question, and we kind of already know the answer, but I want you to go into a little bit more detail. But it says, what was the one thing, dream, person, or plan that you realized that you had to surrender to God?
Yes, and it was definitely my husband, Tom, and our dreams for the future, because we didn't really know what was going to happen. So it was definitely scary at first. Like, when we first found out, it was actually May 28th, 2019, which was our wedding anniversary, our three-year wedding anniversary at the time. And I got home from work, and he was on the couch, just curled up in a ball. And I mean, he was sweating. He just did not look good. So I got him a bottle of water, and he could not keep that water down. It was 30 seconds after he drank it, and he puked. And so I said, let's go to the emergency room. Something is not right. Like, and they did all the tests. They did the scans and everything. And his spleen was three times, like, the normal size. And it was, like, pushing into his stomach. That's why he couldn't even keep the water down. And then his lymph nodes, all of them, were also two, three times the size. So the ER doctor was like, it definitely looks like some type of lymphoma, but we need to do thorough testing, and we'll get him into surgery as soon as possible. And they had him like the next day into surgery. So just everything happened so fast. And it turned out to be follicular lymphoma, and it was in his bones and everything, and it was all throughout his body. So it was stage four. And yeah, it was the scariest diagnosis, because they were like, there's no cure. Like, this is a lifelong, it was like, you hear that and it's like, what? Like, but it's treatable. Like, so that's good. And it's supposed to be a slow growing one, but for some reason it mutated in Tom and it just grew a lot faster. So that's why we have had so much struggles.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the first thing that comes to mind is just fear.
Yes.
Of the unknown, and just what you don't know the outcome.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So why was it so difficult to let go during that time?
Because I was constantly fighting that fear.
Yes.
Yeah, I was so scared. Because, you know, he's the love of my life. Like, I don't want anything to happen to him. And he was so sick. And he was very in an unwell place, like, especially the first time. It also, I don't know if you guys remember when COVID came out. I didn't mention that earlier, but yeah, also COVID came around about that same time. So then you have the added fear, because mm-hmm. it's like his immune system is super compromised and you're just like so scared of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so scared of everything. And, you know, Tom was really angry at first. He was angry at God, like you said, and he was just not in a good place mentally at all. And I grew up in church. I grew up in faith, and my faith I would consider was strong, but this definitely tested it to the limits, and especially having him feel the way he was feeling, it was just even like, it was like spiritual warfare. It was constantly just praying. And like when people said, you know, we're praying for you, I said, thank you. Like, we need, that's like the number one thing we need is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like surrender happened at any moment? And can you explain like how that's been an ongoing process even now.
Yeah, it definitely took hours and hours and days and months and years, honestly, of prayer and just digging deeper into the Bible, into worship, into interceding, into just how good God is, even when you're facing this mountain. Mm-hmm. And it definitely tested us, and it definitely took some time, but Tom did finally give control to God as well. And I feel like when it came back the second time, he's like, I'm not going to let myself mentally be where I was last time. I'm standing in faith this time. And I feel like that just turned the whole ship around, and it was a lot easier mm-hmm. when we were both like praying together and fighting this together.
So, I mean, you touched on a little bit, but when you finally were able to give control to God, what do you feel like happened at that moment? Did you feel like that made it easier for you? I mean, how was that process?
Yeah, like I would say the battle that I was having was different than his. Mm-hmm. For me, I just felt so hopeless, and I felt so like I can't do anything for this man that I love so much. And for him, you know, he was holding on to anger. And so I would say feeling helpless is just such an awful feeling. And only God can help you kind of realize, like, the journey doesn't have to be so hard when you do finally give it over to him. And he really does take your burdens, and you know, you lay them down and you just feel so much lighter, and you feel like, okay, I'm not fighting this alone.
I love that. I'm not fighting this alone. Did surrender mean the outcome turned out exactly how you wanted?
I would say maybe not exactly how I wanted, but I would say yes. Like, I believe in faith. When the CAR T cell treatment was offered to us, mm-hmm. they said it had a 50% chance of working. And of course, Tom was like, I'm not doing it, because it's like over $1 million. Like, it's not a small thing. It's a huge deal. And it's a new treatment. And there's a ton of side effects. Like, they gave us a book of side effects. Wow. And I prayed and believed. And I knew, and I told Tom, you have to do this. This is how God's going to heal you. This is how you are the 50%. Like, you, it's going to work. I know it's going to work. So we finally did it. And praise the Lord. Like, yeah, it did work. And I prayed for minimal side effects. And he had minimal side effects. So it was just like, God, you are so good, and he hears us, and he does answer our prayers.
Yeah. Amen. Where did you find joy or peace in the middle of letting go?
For me, I would say seeing Tom heal physically was definitely, it helped my peace level. But more than that was seeing him heal spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, when he found his relationship with Jesus again, and just seeing Tom fall in love with the Lord and like worship on his own without me prompting it, you know, and stuff like that. It was just so amazing, because like, I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring, and I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and who knows, like, we all have an expiration date. Like, none of us knows what tomorrow could bring. Yeah. But knowing that he had a real relationship with God, like, It doesn't matter what tomorrow brings, because his book is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know? So that is my joy and my peace.
Amen. The last question I have for you is, what would you say to someone who says, I trust God, but knows they're still holding on tightly?
That I totally understand. Mm-hmm. And it is scary. Like, whatever you're facing, sometimes the best thing to do is, like, even though you're scared, is just verbally just continue to. I think there's power in our words. Words are so powerful. And you just have to keep on speaking it out in faith, keep on praying, keep on asking God to help you. And sometimes surrender doesn't look like what you think it will. Sometimes you have to go deeper into the fire first. And I would say, you know, with Tom and I, like, first time, second time, third time, it just deepened. Like, that fire, it kept getting hotter and hotter. And it's like, we came out of it, like, different people. Like, if you knew Tom first round, like, to now, he is a new creation. Like, he is completely different. And that's the fire that purified and refined us, you know, and burnt down those walls that we had built so high. And that's what God can do. He can totally change you and totally change your circumstance.
So good. Can you guys give her a hand? It's okay. Thank you so much. Okay. So, looking back at something that she just said a few minutes ago, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when any of us will leave this world. But knowing that Tom has a real relationship with Jesus gives me a peace that cancer cannot take away, can't steal her joy. And that's surrender. Not knowing what the outcome will be, but knowing who you're trusting with the outcome. It's not always easy. And that's something that Hannah understood. She prayed for Samuel. God answered her prayer. But then she was willing to do something that a lot of us wouldn't be willing to do, and that was to give him back to God. And sometimes we want God to bless us, but we refuse to release to him. Surrender doesn't mean that we stop praying for a miracle. It means that we can pray for a miracle while saying, God, whatever the outcome, I trust you. And that's where the gospel comes in, because our hope isn't ultimately in getting the answer we want. Our hope is in Jesus. Jesus surrendered his life for us. He went to the cross. He took our sin and our shame. He died for us, and he rose again. So when we release something into his hands, we're not throwing it out into the unknown. We're placing it into the hands of the one who gave his own life for us. And we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds us. And so maybe today your prayer is simply, Jesus, I can't control this. I can't fix it. But I trust in you. I give it to you. I give you that diagnosis. Lord, I trust and give you faith. And have faith that you're going to know the outcome. If you are waiting for a baby, it's putting that trust in him, that God knows what your future holds. It could be that marriage that's crumbling apart, and you just don't know what to do anymore. Put it in God's hands. During the first service, I got to pull my Bible out here. This verse came to me. I just wanted to pray this over you guys. Because we talk about giving God control. But then that comes with worry. Maybe you're not sleeping at night because you're thinking about all the things you're worried about. And in Matthew 6, 25, it says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than that? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? Don't worry about these things, saying, what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father, he already knows all your needs. And so seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its own worries. And today's troubles is enough for today. So once again, what is something you're holding on to? Because I can say faith looks like opening your hands and saying, Jesus, take the wheel. I trust you, Jesus. I know in my own life, even with the liver disease that I had been diagnosed with, when you read about something, it can seem very scary, right? ChatGPT, Google, your life is ending as you know it. But you can't think that way. It's not good for you, let me tell you. Laying in bed, worrying about it, it's not helping. It doesn't help. It doesn't help our health. It gives us anxiety. But learning to give it to Jesus, to look forward and to say, no matter the outcome, like she talked about earlier, I give it to Jesus. So I pray that for you guys today. I pray that whatever that is, the burdens that you are holding on to, that you are able to give it to Jesus. So we are going to enter into time of worship. We're not singing Jesus Take the Wheel. I just encourage you. What is it? What's that thing that you need to give to God? The song is a wonderful song. It's all about having faith and trust in Jesus. Good job picking it, guys. So I just encourage you to take this time and give it to him.